नमाम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पुस्ताय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी पुचालने विनयवासेश सुनिवारि भास्कचार्य स्थाने पञ्चकोपातुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुरेव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवयो नमो नमः ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वेलिङ्ग् फ्रोम् दि श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 38. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my cautiousness. He said, O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all of these are to be considered my cautiousness. When a living entity desires to serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, the Lord helps the devotee in so many ways as the Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master within, and thus the devotee can perform many wonderful activities beyond material estimation. By the mercy of the Lord, even a layman can compose prayers of the highest spiritual perfection. Such spiritual perfection is not limited by material qualifications, but is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Material acquisition of wealth or education are not considered. Translation. O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my cause's mercy. We go out at night time with a very powerful torch and start searching for the sun, you won't find it. Whatever size of contraption you can make and generate whatever amount of power and search the skies, you won't be able to find the sun. When the sun decides to rise in the morning, then it illuminates everything and one can see everything, including oneself, very clearly. And this is the position of a living entity eternally, not just in the material world, but in the spiritual world also. That is completely 100% dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Anyone who thinks that he can do anything without the sanction, ultimate sanction of Krishna, then he is very much in illusion. His mercy is causeless. Mercy is what enables the devotee to be able to serve Krishna. What invokes that causeless mercy is one's sincere desire to achieve that causeless mercy. That is it, the living entity's sincere desire and the Lord's causeless mercy. This is the complete union between the living entity and Krishna. This is how it will carry on for eternity. that every entity has a sincere desire to serve Krishna in a particular way, to serve Krishna very purely, to try to satisfy Krishna's senses. And by Krishna's causeless mercy, manifested by his internal potency, Srimati Radharani, then all facility is given for that. Otherwise, the living entity is very, very small indeed. It has no ability to create, maintain, or destroy anything. Completely dependent on Krishna and Krishna's. And most living entities are quite happy in that situation. Most living entities are going on eternally, completely satisfied, being completely under the protection of Krishna's mercy. And a few who decide to rebel come under the shelter nations, they also completely depend on the mercy of Krishna. They don't even have the power to even see if there is no light in the universe. If Krishna does not provide the light, we cannot see. It doesn't matter how good our so-called eyesight is. It doesn't matter. Once it is pitch black, no one can see. When there is no sound, no one can hear. When there is no aroma, no one can smell. So, everything is 10% dependent on the mercy of Krishna. We have to develop this sincere desire, but I want to satisfy Krishna. More intense that desire is developed, that becomes our main absorption, that our entire being, our entire consciousness is absorbed in that, because I want to satisfy Krishna. The more Krishna will reveal himself and let us know what satisfies him. Now Lord Brahma, when this universe was created, he was sitting there on his lotus flower, darkness all around. He had no idea what was going on. He tried wandering around, he tried climbing down the stem, on and on and on, without success, and then eventually came back and sat down again. And until the mercy of Krishna came in the form of telling him to perform some austerity to prove that he wanted to be guided by Krishna, then he wasn't able to do anything. Only by showing his sincerity and determination, and Krishna revealed more and more and more to him. So this is another day of Brahma when he's making his prayers. It's not actually the new creation of the universe. It's another day, unspecified day. And although Brahma is deeply realized, still becoming more and more advanced. Of course, he's more advanced than any of the other living entities under his care. But one can advance more and more and more as one enters deeper into the spiritual relationship. Again, Brahma is being inspired from within the heart. He's been given the strength to offer these wonderful prayers. And this can come to anyone. Anyone at all, this is, doesn't matter whether you deeply studied the scriptures or you haven't deeply studied the scriptures, whether you've spent a long time practicing devotional service. And this can come to anyone, if they're just very sick. Now Dhruva Maharaj went off with a very much material desire. Allow me to get the kingdom. Not my brother, not anyone else. I want to be king. Not just of this kingdom, but a very powerful kingdom, more powerful than they can imagine. By the course of mercy of Narada Muni, who met him along the way, he was advised to seek austerities, through sincere endeavor, the mercy of Krishna. So he did like that. He was very determined, and eventually Krishna revealed himself. When he did, Dhruva Maharaj had no idea how to offer any prayers. He'd never had any training. He was in no position to glorify the personality of God. But as soon as Lord touched him with his conscience, then immediately he started to sing wonderful prayers, glorifying the Lord. This is the system. You can study, you can perform different penances, observe different fasts, try so many things. But if that mercy doesn't come, and in the end, you will still be in a state of confusion about what your real relationship with Krishna is. You still will not be able to sincerely serve Krishna on the transcendental platform. You're still able to give up that hunka. Until that time comes, then our endeavors, however hard they may be, however determined they may be, they will still be self-centered. Oh, I want to become purified. I want to become a great devotee. I want to learn all these chakras. I want to do this. I want to do that. I. As soon as we place that I with Krishna, that I want to satisfy Krishna. I want to glorify Krishna. For his satisfaction. To become absorbed in Krishna, then Krishna will be separated. Then there's nothing the devotee cannot do. Because Krishna's potencies are unlimited. There was a devotee living in a place called Mohkuti, which is in Basa. This devotee was blind. He would daily get his sustenance by just sitting under a tree, and some of which buses would come by and give him rotis and chach and such things which were available in Vrindavan. One day the Lord appeared to him. He said, actually the place where you're living, this Mohkutia, is where I performed a wonderful pastime with Shivaraka. When I manifested as a peacock and danced before Radha. And she danced along with me. So I want you to make a beautiful picture of that pastime, respecting that pastime. So the devotee asked Krishna, well, how am I going to do that? I can't see. How can I possibly? And he said, do not worry. You simply meditate on the pastime, and you start your work, and you'll be able to. As long as you're absorbed in that service, you'll be able to see whatever you need. So he started meditating on the Morvan pastime. And he actually started to see all the trees, the ground, and everything. So he thought, all right, I don't have any material, let me just wander around the Moorbanya forest here and collect whatever is available. So he collected peacock feathers, he collected the roots of trees, got the liquid for making color, and he made a beautiful painting of that bus. Unfortunately, of course, the time that picture was stolen, and there's a duplicate picture of that time at that place. But the point is, because of his sincerity to want to serve Krishna, even though he was blind, he, of course, his mercy, he was able to. Yogamangalta, living as a complete debauchee. And yet he received the causes of mercy by his own guru, taking birth as a prostitute. Why you're wasting your life? All the endeavors you're making to enjoy, if you make the same endeavor, even much less endeavor, to satisfy Krishna, you're attaining very easily. His mind changed immediately, and he set off for Vrindavan. On the way to Vrindavan, even though he had no previous training, pastimes of the Lord started manifesting. He wrote the famous book, Shukani Nita, which Lord Chaitanya considers, along with Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govind and the Brahma Sutra, amongst the most important literatures. By the Lord's mercy, everything was revealed within the heart. No previous study, no previous departures. We're coming in the specific line from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has already performed so many austerities. Krishna has manifested the sound of Krishna's flute into these ears, the purport of all the Vedas. The most inner meaning, all manifested. Now by joining that sampradaya, we can easily attain the same thing. That sound is still coming down, the sound of Krishna's feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, still coming down. Really does not depend on anything what we can do. Depends on us becoming completely surrendered. Simply surrendering. Not surrendering blindly, but surrendering to Krishna. What is it we're actually surrendering to? We're surrendering to the desire, developing the desire to satisfy Krishna. This is the sun and moon of perfection of devotion coming to this planet. Boy, we can carry on walking around Tulsi Devi. We can carry on offering arts. We can carry on reciting so many stuff. There's so many things we can carry on doing. But if we're not going to surrender to Krishna, if we're not going to become absorbed remembering Krishna, absorbed in wanting to enter into a deep relationship of satisfying Krishna, then what is our purpose? You want to be worshipped, the day will come, don't worry. Get your opportunity. You want to be the center of attention, you'll get your opportunity. But you also have to take the corresponding opposite reaction. If you want to put your service, if you want to take the chief's position. You want to be praised, great devotee, as the best mudanga player, as the best cook, whatever it may be. Yes, you'll get your opportunity. Even the karmis are getting that chance. They want to be very successful, in course of time they will be. But after they've risen to the top, then they'll go back to the bottom of the pile. You need to really think. Why have I taken up Krishna consciousness? Is it simply to become the best of something? Or do I want to become a servant of Krishna? Because that is our real desire. Bhagavatam will manifest. Dr. Brahma is the sound form of Krishna, Radha Krishna. His non-difference of his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his dharma. We simply have to open our ears and allow this transcendental vibration to go in. Allow it to penetrate in the deepest recesses of our heart. And even if our heart is like iron, or even like a diamond, in course of time it will be crushed and become like liquid. Krishna praying will manifest simply by allowing the transcendental vibration to enter our ears. Simply by developing the mood of surrender to Krishna. This is not something impersonal. It's not just involving myself. This is what the yogis do. They go out to the forest, they walk through austerities for their own satisfaction ultimately. Control my senses, control my mind, control my intellect, control the hankar, become more and more powerful. But it has nothing to do with satisfying Krishna. They have to beat this wicked mind. In the morning, in the evening, you rascal, stop all your nonsense. Just pray to Krishna, please allow me to become your servant. Please allow me to become the satisfier of your senses. Any activity, Krishna is the center, then it's glorious. If any activity is not the center, then what is it? Sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna for own self-prestige. Well, look at me. Won't it tell you Krishna? It's not for a long, long, long time. So, this line is coming down from Lord Brahma. We have to become connected to it. We have to be continuously renewing that connection. It means we always have to be seeking out those devotees who are sincerely surrendering to Krishna and get that association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Lava Matra. Here we have the opportunity by Srila Prabhupada's grace. What to speak of Lava Matra? Can have association all the time. Bhava to take the time to seek it out. Bhava to actually practice becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. In the heart become full of Krishna prayer. Then tears will flow from the eyes. The body will shiver, the hairs will stand on end. Who is that picture? Wicked mind and intelligence, this material mind and material intelligence? Is it simply directing us? Oh, yeah, you can become a great devotee, or you can become praised by everyone. You can become the best at this, you can become the best at that. Oh, yeah, you better learn this, you better learn that for your prestige. Ashitam! Don't sit down and chant Hare Krishna and meditate when you're going to go to the toilet next, or when you're going to eat today, or when you're going to do this or that. Sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Vai Krishna! My dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. My dear Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. All our activities have to come to that level. Causes mercy to flow. Nothing can stop it, except that we don't want to accept it. Voluntary. Prabhupada uses the word voluntary here. It's a word very much exploited in our Islam society, voluntary. But voluntary means that the living entity of his own desire wants to serve Krishna. That's the service Krishna wants. Otherwise, yes, you can become famous. You can become Lord Brahma one day, or whatever you desire. We'll have to become an animal, and a dog, and a hog, and so many other things. Or you can simply become a servant of servants. Live eternally in the transcendental world of Goloka. A servant of Krishna. Ever absorbed in trying to satisfy Krishna's desire. And Krishna, he's a very lusty boy. Not easily satisfied. He always wants more and more and more. And when you least expect, he will just walk off and leave you to cry. Because he always wants to see that you're becoming more and more attached. Because he's the man. He's the enjoyer. He's the person we're trying to imitate. Been in this material world for who knows how long. We become very expert of trying to be the enjoyer. Very expert, becoming very puffed up. Krishna is that personality who is the real enjoyer. He demands more and more and more surrender. And as we enter into that mood of surrender, that mood of satisfying Krishna's sense, become absorbed in satisfying Krishna. The ocean of nectar comes deeper and deeper and deeper. One goes completely mad because he can only think of Krishna, not something which is not available, something which is very easily available. Want to take the fruit of love of Godhead? We can. We want to take the fruit of our passions? We can. Choice is ours. It's voluntary. No one, not even Krishna, can force us. The living entity has that much independence. Surrender to Krishna or not. Dear Lord Brahma, he's sitting there, receiving the full mercy of Krishna. By birthright, by entering into this sampradaya, we inherit that same Krishna fame. But if we want to be foolish, then we will not inherit it. Let's carry on. Jiva Goswami says that we can carry on chanting Hare Krishna for hundreds of verses. Some of the persons who who took birth in the place where Krishna was performing his pastimes, as described in the 10th canto, the last Lila. No person who took birth was Gopi Girls. And Krishna played his flute. These were very elevated persons. They actually got to take birth in Vrindavan. Time when Yogamaya's curtain was pulled aside and Krishna first pastimes in Mount Mercy. And Krishna called them. Some of them decided not to go. Guaranteed, you can go back to Godhead by the grace of a spiritual master, by the grace of the Param Guru and the Param Guru, all the way back to Krishna. The force of mercy is coming down if we voluntarily want to accept it. If not, choice is ours. Right the way up to the top. Don't want to continue surrendering process, then it will stop right there. We should never think, "Oh, now I'm very advanced. Now I have so much knowledge about Krishna. I know what he's doing at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know what he's doing at 8:15. I know so many things. I know so many bhajans. I know so many slokas. You know Krishna. But for that, you have to receive the grace of a devotee who does know Krishna. Know about Krishna is very wonderful. To know Krishna, to understand Krishna, to want to satisfy Krishna, this is the king of devotions. Bhavan Kirtan Swami. Hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to remember Krishna voluntarily. Surrendering, that is our eternal position. Bring to satisfying Krishna's senses. Questions or comments? Yes. Is that a question or statement?
Is it still good to approach?
Until desire is never good. But to approach Krishna is good, in whatever state we are. But what we have to be very careful about is that we approach Krishna and we start reciprocating. Some of our distress goes away, and some relief comes, and then we start to know, what do I need that Krishna for? Look, I'm quite learned, I'm quite this, I'm quite that, I can go on by myself. Your body was hanging onto her side in one hand. Other hand was in the air, calling out to Krishna. When she let go, with the other hand also, then Krishna totally protected her. He protecting anyway, but he personally completely protected her when she personally completely surrendered. It's whatever we have, we must take that to Krishna. But halfway through, we should change our mind. We should change our mind halfway through. Guru Maharaj immediately realized, oh, I was asking for pieces of broken glass. Gave up that material desire. In some cases, material desire is not given up. Oh, thank you very much for the kingdom. I'll let you enjoy. Surrender has to continue, not just take our material desires to Krishna or get them satisfied or Krishna very nice. And then tomorrow he slaps us up. What is that? That is also Krishna's message.
In our class now we know that, you know, just by knowing about Krishna is not good enough. Many of us have this desire now. Now we realize.
Constantly have to endeavor for that. Because at any moment, if he doesn't know, I'm going to find out what do I need. make that successful, you have to seek out suitable association. At the same time, you have to guard very carefully against offending relationships. The only thing which can destroy devotional service are these offensive relationships. Devotional service is so powerful that if we approach devotional service and start to surrender at the Lord's feet, and even Krishna will come good. But if somehow it's not flowing smoothly forward, deeper and deeper into that ocean of devotion, then there must be some offense. Devotional service is even more powerful than Krishna. Krishna surrenders to his devotees, the devotees. But if not going forward, then we have to be very careful that we're not making offenses. So long we've been stuck in a material world where everything is revolving around myself. We're so attached to that, it's not easy to give it up. Constantly being deadened. We come convinced that material world has nothing of any use. It can give no shelter. Material world's shelter is birth, death, old age, and disease. Shelter she has to offer. And we become convinced that there is no shelter in this material world. There's no shelter from this material mind, from this material intellect, from these senses. Then we will start sincerely seeking shelter at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Goswami has given this process to be able to practice devotional service and look at the Vaishnavas. Can't see Krishna right now. At least not in his Akshatari. See the Vaishnavas, and we can practice serving the Vaishnavas, practice the mood of surrender, practice becoming a servant. Hear the Bhagavatam, try to hear. It's like we want to seek for the sun, but we can't find it unless it reveals itself. Hear the Bhagavatam, try to hear the Bhagavatam. Instead, if you want to run out, oh, I can understand this, I can work this. Beg Krishna, try to relish the mercy of Krishna. Doesn't matter if we take Krishna even in that, not in that mood, so much bhakti sthiti will come. But if we want to actually go forward into the realm of pure devotional service, then we have to learn how to actually receive the mercy. Allow the Krishna to purify our senses. Allow the association with Vaishnavas to purify us. Allow the transcendental name to flow. In other words, give up the controlling mentality. Oh, I'm the doer, I'm the doer. Yes. You cannot get rid of pride and envy. You cannot get rid of these things. Radharani was thinking, oh, the cowherd boys, they offer so many nice garlands to Krishna. When I offer my garland to Krishna, he becomes completely stupid. Goswami said, this is a symbol of pride in devotional service. So you have to adopt all of these things. If you want to be the conqueror, then the result will be you become a Mayavadi. Spend your time trying to conquer pride and envy and all these things. We actually have to learn how to engage everything in Krishna's service. Can take pride in being the devotee of Krishna, but he can't become puffed up. No pride and transcendental pride. That pride, that envy is making us become puffed up, is making us more absorbed in myself, so-called self. Then it's mundane. But if it's causing us to become more Krishna conscious, more absorbed in Krishna, Prabhupada encouraged competition. You would sit there and say, oh, let's see, Yamishwara, this Kumar Krishna,
His card was distributing so many more books in the temple.
What are you going to do about it?
We'll encourage this mood and devotion. That doesn't matter. The point is still the same. Your nature may be different. You may engage in some other type of service. Some other moods may be more prominent for yourself. The point is they have to be used in Krishna service. Kupcha, if you're so lusty for Krishna, is actually described as being materially lusty. Or she directed that towards Krishna. Now Chakravarti said that we're very lusty, right? Then make chandan for the deity. Call that lust and return to transcendental lust. You never conquer this. You can go on and on trying to conquer. You'll get some degree of control and then it will go out of control again. Just like trying to capture a wild horse. Put a rope around it and just pull the horse in. You'll go crazy and strangle himself. Yogis are going on like this. Come, it doesn't take them to. Not unless they get the association with Vaishnava and actually learn how to serve Krishna. Everything can be used in service of Krishna. It's a question of taking the right association and learning how to use it. It starts with the external things and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Ultimately, every mood, every thought can be used in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.